would have noticed, but now I've changed the pattern of the service just as because I felt led to do so, where we're opening up with some declaration and thankfulness. The Bible says to enter his gates with thanksgiving, come into his courts with praise. It's important to do that, to come in and just be thankful and bless him. But I'm moving more into a realm then of preaching. It's been going that way pretty much all year, so preaching a little bit shorter for me, and bring the impartation where we follow that then with entering into worship and just allowing however the Holy Spirit leads us with that. The last 3 weeks I've been sharing from Psalm 84. I'm going to continue there again. I want to read a few of the verses, and I don't want to get into review. I don't really have time for that. But verse 4 says, "Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will still be praising thee." Selah. Or think about that. "Blessed is the man," verse 5, "whose strength is in thee and whose heart are the ways of them." And then down at verse 12. "O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee." Three different times here, he says, blessed is the man who's doing certain things. We are blessed as a people. God's word declares it many times on through. Ephesians 1:3 says we have all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Deuteronomy chapter 28 lists out many blessings in the natural. In the Old Testament, the blessings of the Lord all spoke to the natural realm of life. In the New Testament, the blessings of the Lord speak to all spiritual realms of life. The reason there was not spiritual blessing in the Old Covenant was that sin still remained in the heart. So God couldn't bring spiritual blessing. But with the New Covenant, he takes sin out. There's the remission of sin and giving the gift of righteousness, whereby he could then put his Holy Spirit within us or within those who believe upon him. And it's by way of the gift of the Holy Spirit, all of the things of the kingdom of God are made available to us and brought to us. So again, it's important to understand the Old Covenant brought all promise of blessing in the natural. The New Covenant brings all promise of blessing in the spiritual. We have access to all of that. Now, verse 11 in Psalm 84, it says, "For the Lord God is a sun and a shield," or he's light and protection. And that's stated because of the context of the whole psalm is speaking of them journeying to Jerusalem for Passover, Pentecost, and the Feast of Harvest. And on that journey, they would go through the Valley of Baca, which was a dry desert type of place, and that he would be their light and protection on the journey. Now, there is the picture of a journey. Your life on this earth is a journey. That's another picture for your life, where our end point, our destination, will be heaven at the end. But along the way, we learn to walk with God and bring glory to him. And as we go through the dry places, as it says back at verse 6, passing through the valley of Baca, or that desert place, we make it a well with the rain that fills the pools, which in the Hebrew means that we cover it with blessing. We cover where we travel or the people we're encountering with blessing because we're blessed. Now, I'll come back to that. But I want to say three things about blessing and the blessing of the Lord. Because verse 11 goes on to say, he will withhold, he says he'll give grace and glory, and no good thing will he withhold from them that walk upright. God has all manner of blessing for all of his children. Now, as I stated earlier, the Old Covenant promises blessing to the natural realm of life. The New Covenant promises blessing to the spiritual side of life. It's all available. He doesn't hold back. He doesn't say, well, I'll give you a little bit of this, but you can't have that. Now imagine, parents, you love your children. If you, you know, call them to dinner. You know, as they say, you can call me a lot of things. Just don't call me late for dinner. But you're called to dinner. And I know I shouldn't do this before lunch, but I'm going to give a food illustration. Let's just say, and a few days ago, I think you made meatloaf, Donna. Someone's making meatloaf, and let's say there's mashed potatoes with butter on it, and there's no broccoli, no Brussels sprouts. That won't fit the illustration, but let's say there's corn. Everybody likes corn, right? There's corn. There's mashed potatoes, there's meatloaf, there's bread, and then you can smell the pumpkin pie that's cooking, that's baking, okay? And you all sit down, and the kids are there at the table, and you say, you can eat the bread, but that's all you get. And the mashed potatoes, the corn, the meatloaf's all sitting there, and you can smell that pie in the oven. And you would say to them, you can eat the bread, but that's all you can have. Now, that maybe could be called child abuse. It'd certainly be tormenting. It would be hard. But you, as the father and mother, wouldn't sit there and eat it all while they sit and watch. Well, and drooling on their plate. No, you would never do that as a parent. In fact, we go to the other extreme and we would say, why aren't you eating that meatloaf? It's because the pumpkin pie is cooking in the oven, right? You know, with kids, you know, they know the dessert's coming and they might want to skimp on something else. Yeah, so I purposely didn't include in the illustration lima beans or Brussels sprouts. Oh, I like Brussels sprouts. Some of you may be having an aversion to broccoli. But you would say, eat it all. And then you would follow it up with, it's good for you. That's good for you. Eat it. It's good for you. And a child might be thinking in her mind, I like ice cream. I like pie. I don't care if that's good for me. I want this over here. But no, you will tell them they need to eat it all because they need it all. It's all good for them. Hopefully you're not making something bad for them. Well, that's a matter of opinion, what's good and bad sometimes. But you know, you don't poison your kids. You don't scrape the mold off and then serve the food. You give them something good, and it's your heart to bless them. How much more is our Heavenly Father like that? He wants to bless us with all the blessings that He has. That's His heart in the matter. Why? Because He loves you. Why? Because you have grace in His sight. That's favor. When you love someone, you favor them. You want to bless them. That's the grace of God. He wants to bless you. As a father, as a grandfather, I would always look for every opportunity to bless my kids or my granddaughters now. I look for those opportunities. I will never bless disobedience. But I'll bless them as they're, you know, as they do well. But also I would look for the opportunity to bless them when they're doing nothing. Nothing right, nothing wrong. Because that only says one thing. I love you. You didn't get blessed because you did a good thing. You got blessed simply because I love you. And children need to receive both. There's times they need to know you're going to bless them just because you love them. But I would tell them, don't be in disobedience, or then I can't bless you. Shuts it all down. So our heart, we can understand this. Our Heavenly Father, He wants to bless us. He loves you more than you love you. He loves you more than you love your kids. Now, the second point here I want to make is that his blessing's conditional. He said he will withhold no good thing from those who walk uprightly. Or that blessing has a condition to it, which is that walking right before him. Or verse 12 said, blessed is the man that trusts in him. Blessed is the man who will continue to be praising him or worshiping him. Blessed is the man whose strength is in him. Psalm 128 verse 1 said, blessed is the man that fears the Lord. Deuteronomy 28 1 speaks that those that hearken to the voice of his word and obey him will be blessed, coming in, going out, in the city, in the field, blessed in every way. But we must understand, blessing's conditional. Love is unconditional. You can't do enough to make him stop loving you. His love's unconditional. No matter what you do, he still loves you. But the blessing of the Lord is conditional to believing God and obeying his commands. So we need to clearly understand this point. The blessing of the Lord is conditional, and especially to faith. He says, blessed is the man that trusts in him. Jeremiah 17:5 says, cursed is the man who trusts in the arm of the flesh. And verse 7, he says, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, who is his hope. The Lord who is his hope. So blessing and cursing is upon us. God has provided in the covenant all that we would ever need. So you don't have to worry about need or not having something. There is a promise that speaks to us, speaks to your need, every need you would have. There's a promise that speaks to that. He wants to give it to you. However, there is the conditional aspect to that. So he says, blessed is the man that trusts in him. When you trust, you have a commitment attached to that, if you truly trust. If your trust is in money, then you will be most committed to getting money. That'll always come first. If your trust is in the Lord first, then your commitment is first to him. Trust in your life will establish commitment. Now, when I share on this, I like to share the story of my son, Jesse, who came to a point, and he was 18, maybe this happened. He decided he's going to conquer his fears. And one of them was a fear of heights. So he decides he's going to go skydiving to conquer the fear of heights. So you can go over to Lancaster, get a plane. Yeah, I think it was like $150 or something like that. And they'll fly 10,000 feet. And the first time you go off strapped to somebody else, in case you freeze, forget to pull the rip cord. And they'll have another guy diving off, and they're photographing the whole thing. So they're 10,000 feet. He's not committed yet. He's still in the airplane. And the pilot says, you know, for an extra $50, we can go up 15,000 feet. So he says, go up 15,000 feet. I'm conquering this fear of heights. 15,000 feet. Yeah, that's 3 miles, 5,280 feet, 12 miles, almost 3 miles. So there they go up there. And at this point, he's still not committed. You know, they open the door. And once he jumps out the door of the airplane, you're committed. And your trust is in the parachute. You are trusting that thing will open or you're dead. Or at best, have every bone in your body broken, falling for 3 miles. And You're trusting in that parachute and in the person who packed it. So once you leap out of the airplane, you can say, I trust the parachute, or your trust is known and proven because you've jumped out of the plane. Well, he came down. He had a great time, conquers fear of heights. He said, Dad, that was great. You should do that. You should do that with me. I said, I don't have fear of heights. I don't need to jump off any airplane. I don't trust the person I don't know who packed the parachute. That's my problem with it. But if I trusted the parachute and the person who packed it, I could jump out of the airplane if I had a reason to. So, but I don't have a reason to. So, but you see, sometimes we think we're trusting, but you don't really know until there's a commitment that goes with it. We might be trusting the flesh and think we're trusting God, but we're not really, because we've not fully committed ourselves and put ourselves into the Lord's hands. When I used to do masonry work when I was first out of high school, there were a lot of times, especially on commercial jobs, but sometimes even if we were working on a chimney, and you'd be like 25, 30 feet in the air, and you're on planks that are 2x10s and scaffolding, and we would always check those planks to make sure they're strong, because I don't want to be falling 30 feet from the air with a lot of blocks and bricks following me down. So we would check, you know, if those planks start getting a little springy, well, then we need to get rid of them. But over the years, there'd be a time or two, we'd have a lot of weight on there and the planks would break. And you learn then, you make sure you can trust the planks, that they're strong enough to hold you. Because when you get on the scaffold, on the planks with a lot of block and brick, you're committed. You must trust the scaffolding that you built. If you don't trust it, you'd be foolish to get up on it. Now, I've had some break before. One time fat scaffolding went out, and all these blocks, I was down at the bottom, came down. One of them hit me on the head, the corner of the blocks, 10-inch block, weighed 40 pounds. Hit me on the head, gashed my head. I'm just telling this for effect, but just if anybody needs healing, believe God for healing. I was just a young believer at the time. Learning the word, learning healing was a blessing to me, available. A block hit me on the head. They knocked me to the ground. It was summer. I had my shirt off. And I get up, push blocks off. There's blood streaming down my chest and my back. Well, this one block cut my head open pretty good. So there was two other guys there. We come out of the foundation. I sit on the, they want to take me to the hospital. I sit on the pickup truck bed and said, Jesus is my healer, and prayed for healing. And the Lord closed that wound up right in front of their eyes. We need to know what God has for us, because sometimes things happen. And we need to know we're in a place, I am trusting the Lord. At that moment, I was tested. Now, it wouldn't have been wrong to go to the hospital, but the better thing was for the Lord to supernaturally heal me in a miracle in the moment. That was the better thing. And by faith, I just received it. I'm just a young believer. I wasn't a pastor or anything. This isn't relative to how much you know the Bible or how long you've been serving the Lord. You can be saved for 5 minutes and receive a miracle. Believe God for what he has. We simply need to know he loves you. He has certain blessings provided in the covenant. And then we need to, by faith, receive it or trust in him to do what he said. Amen. Well, as we trust the Lord, we commit. We put our weight upon his promises, the weight of our standing upon, like I would on the planks. Praise God. God is so good. He wants to bless you. Blessing's conditional. I could just go on and on about that. But enough said on that second point. The third point is that he blesses you to be a blessing. Now, back in Genesis chapter 12, God called Abram. And he called him to leave his country and his father's house. He was going to give him a land. Verse 2, he says, I'll make of you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great. And you shall be a blessing. I'll bless them that bless you and curse them that curse you. Now, last week, I made reference to that. That God promised in his word, they that bless Jerusalem shall be blessed. And because of that, along with the fact that this nation, more than everything else put together, finances the gospel to the world, to the nations. For those two reasons, this nation's not going under just yet. I was preaching on that last week. Our president has stood for Israel. That one act brings a safety net to this nation. And then we finance the gospel to the nations. If God had to judge everyone just because of their sins, they'd all have to burn today. Because there's plenty of sin all over the world. That's not to say he won't judge things. I'm not saying that. What I am saying, his blessing on this nation is because of the call of God to this nation to bless Israel and to take the gospel to the world. The people as individuals, we blessed as they walk in his word. But as a nation, there's a calling to the nation. So I say that to you for some consolation in all of the darkness that's around us in these last days. There's a work that's going to be done. The harvest is going to come in. And as I've been speaking to you from Psalm 84, the harvest is going to come in, that third feast of Israel. Yes. It's not done yet. And this nation's a prime player in it. If we forsake nations, Israel, we're in big trouble. Our previous president was doing all he could to undermine Israel. That was going to take us down. But praise God, the president we now have has stood for Israel in a greater way than any previous president has. Okay, I don't want to go off. I'm just throwing that in there. As he says, I'll make of you a great nation. There's callings on nations. And he said, in you or in your family, in your nation, all the families of the earth will be blessed. And that's speaking of the promise of Christ coming through his seed. But I want to draw attention this morning to verse 2. It says, and you shall be a blessing. The blessing of the Lord is not an end point. It is a step along the way. The end point is you being a blessing. You being a blessing. First to God. And secondly, to people, humanity. Wherever your relationships are. In other words, you have a family. Well, you bless your spouse. You bless your kids. You bless your parents. You bless your family. You have church family. You bless them. You bless the world. As I said in Psalm 84, when they go through the valley of Baca, because they had the strength of the Lord and the journey in their heart, they're going to cover it with blessing. So that's another point or place reinforcing what I'm saying from this verse. God wants to bless you that you can be a blessing. And the more of the life of God you have, the more you can be a blessing, which we could sum that up with one word, love. That is, for you to be a blessing is love. If you only think about what you're going to get, that's selfish. But when you think of blessing others, that's love. And it just keeps the whole cycle perpetuating. You know, some years back, When we first got the house we live now, it's 20 years ago, and I planted some apple trees, and I had planted two peach trees. And it usually takes 5 years till you plant a small, young tree till they're going to bear fruit. Well, the year comes, this peach tree is loaded with peaches. I mean loaded. So I'm down there picking these peaches, carrying up to the house, trips up and back. And I come in, and Donna's in the basement, and she's sorting out the peaches. She's putting some in, I don't know if it was a basket or a plastic tub, putting some peaches here and some there. And I said, "What are you doing?" And she says, "I'm picking out the best ones to give away." I was convicted, because in the moment I'm thinking about, we'll keep the best ones. We'll give the other ones away. But no. She's thinking in the realms of love. I'll pick out the best one. And it wasn't just, well, here's a basket. Here's, you know, whatever's in there. She's picking out all the best ones to give away to everybody. So when I grow up, I want to be like Donna. You know, I say that, you know, laughing, but different people are strong in different realms of truth. And no one's perfect. If you require perfection, then you can't really relate to other people very well. But different people, and I say that, I'm speaking to all of you, you may be strong in certain things. Don't magnify your weakness. Deal with it, grow, get victory over it.
Yes.
But then there's strengths as well. And the more we choose to be a blessing, the more we're going to operate in that way, to be a blessing. How has God blessed you? With what has he blessed you? Some people are great at encouraging people. It's something God put in them. Someone else is great comforting someone. Now, here's the thing. You can only give that which you have. God does not require of us outside of what we have. Out of the blessing you have, you can give. You can give of yourself. When people hear the word give, they automatically think like money or material things. That's really at the lower end of things. We receive the life of God. We receive understanding. We receive his grace and mercy and love. Out of that, we give. We bless others. And you might not have much, but what do you have? You can give from that. When I was first saved, I was so hungry for God, and I didn't know anything. And I just wanted to be a blessing. And I had this old beat-up pickup truck, that 1963 Dodge, a truck of many colors. It was a road construction truck. It was a Mason's truck. And then it became mine. First vehicle I bought. $550. So here I was. I started going to a church, charismatic church. And because I love the Lord, I had to do something. And I had two things, a strong back and a pickup truck. You give out of what you have. And this church was rather large, and there was a lot of single people, especially single young ladies, who always would rent the third floor apartment because it was cheaper. And I was the guy that would move pianos and refrigerators from the third floor down and then on a truck to another third floor apartment. I didn't know much of anything yet. But I did know that God loved me, saved me, and I wanted to give back to him. So all I have is a pickup truck and a strong back. Whatever God has blessed you with, you can bless somebody else out of that.
Yes.
Now, as you go on, you learn the word, you get to know the Lord, you begin to draw upon him, you have a whole lot more to give. when it comes to blessing, you're blessed to be a blessing. So we come together today. We gather in the name of Jesus. We come declaring who he is. We remember what he's done. We initially come to bless the Lord with your praises, your worship. That ministers to him. It just blesses him. Oh, blesses him. We feel so awkward, like you're dancing with two left feet or something. We feel inadequate with our praises. He's looking at the heart, not your perfection. You bless him out of what you have. And if all you know is, thank you, Jesus, you saved me, you love me. If that's all you know, you can bless him out of that by thanking him for that. Thank you, Jesus, you saved me. But as we go on, we become more and more and more blessed. So we come first to minister to him. And then out of that, he ministers to us. He fills us. He wants to manifest his presence, which would carry with it all spiritual blessing. That's what he wants to do. But he's looking to us first to come bless him. The psalmist said, blessed are they that dwell in your house that are still praising him. They'll still be praising him. Are you ready? And the worship team, come up. We want to bless the Lord today. We want to minister to him, our Heavenly Father. Blessing him. You know, if you give a gift to your kids, your grandkids, it blesses you when they say, thank you, Daddy. Thanks, Grandpa. Thanks, Grandma. Thanks, Mommy. That blesses you because they're expressing their appreciation. How much more, Heavenly Father, blessed as we minister to him. So let's stand together and minister to the Lord, all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our might. Hallelujah.